Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Tomorrow on the show, Bill O'Brien talking Boston College Eagles football at 6:45, and I believe a Red Sox front office report at 9 tomorrow as the Red Sox season winds down. The last one with the great Joe Castiglione, Curtis. And
I have put my hat in the ring to replace him. Yep, I met with Ken yesterday. Yeah. And I'm going to do a couple demos. I think it's my job. I think it's what I was born to do.
It's got
to
be a job that a lot of people want. I mean, you talk about the Red Sox storied franchise, and that play-by-play job has got to be one that I would assume a lot of people want.
I was reached out to yesterday about the job.
Really?
So I forwarded to Ken.
Oh, wow.
Somebody that I think would actually do a very bang-up job.
Oh, okay.
I had an idea as a potential candidate, in all sincerity, Gary Streisky.
Oh, he would bring so much energy.
Outside the box, did the Nesson sideline stuff. He's working at SportsCenter, does a great job with Randy Scott and ESPN. But I don't know. I think some youth would be good.
It's probably a pay cut for him, though.
ESPN is kind of right now. I don't know.
Okay. Gary didn't get the praise that he should have gotten when he was here. Like, I think he is.
He's solid. He's an A1.
Yep. And Jemai does a great job now, too. Like, he doesn't get enough credit either.
Well, and certainly Lou has done an incredible job.
Yes.
But he's not looked at as color. He's
whoever,
more color guy,
like,
right?
Lou should have a say in who it is.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
And, you know.
All those jobs are coveted.
Hey, it's
Celtics,
Lou.
Celtics, Bruins, obviously Red Sox, and Patriots. So, yeah, it'll be interesting who they decide to go with.
Yep.
Right. Greg, I got to read this to you. Might be my favorite text of all time, but it's definitely in the running for text of the day.
Running for text of the day this morning on the Subaru of New England text line.
That's correct. 508 text. We were just talking about the All-22s.
Yes.
All-22s, the name of Greg's dating app.
All right. It's a good name, though.
First of all, Lindsay is not 22.
Nope.
It's a good name.
Well, appreciate that. Happy 23.
I have an issue relating to older women. It's not the mental. It's just we're at different points in our lives.
Greg's other dating app is actually called 23andMe.
I am not ready to.
What?
Okay, Shine.
That's a good one, Shine. That is a good one. He likes him young. He likes him like Belichick.
I like him. It doesn't matter to me. Age is just a number, so it does not matter.
They don't seem to share one.
When they get over a certain age, it does matter.
I want somebody. I'm going to Post Malone tonight.
Ooh.
You think I'm going to ask a 50-year-old to go to Post Malone?
Wow.
You have no idea who Post Malone is.
Oh, that's not true.
You know who Post Malone is. You're a 50-year-old.
Right. I know, but I'm
you're closer to 60 than 50.
My mom loves Post Malone.
I'm cool. I used to be for them screets.
All right. You him.
You're hip, right. You're hip and you're cool.
Yes, he knows.
That's correct.
I think you need to get a thesaurus.
This is Cotto from Boston. Cotto.
Good morning.
What's
good morning.
Up?
How's it going, guys?
What's up?
Hey, so I called in a few days ago about how I thought that, obviously, like, over 17 or 18 games, the run game wasn't going to be sustainable with injuries coming up and whatnot. And, you know, it's just something, you know, that ends up happening. And to Wiggy and Chime's point is I do think that Drake May should be starting because I think he'd give us more for our receivers. But at the same time, you know, we talked all offseason about how the offensive line is a problem. And no, I don't think that they're great. But if they're given a quarterback 6 seconds to throw the ball, I think the quarterback should be finding a target. And I do, just to play devil's advocate for everybody saying that, what makes you think Drake May is able to do it? Well, what makes you think that Drake May isn't able to do the same as Brissett, if not better?
Well, we haven't the answer to that is we haven't seen Drake May do it. So right.
Well, we haven't seen Jacoby Brissett do it either. So what the hell's the difference?
Well, no, I know. Listen, to me, the strength of the run game that you bring up is another reason why you can put Drake May in there and not worry about it as much.
Exactly. But if you have receivers that are getting open consistently, and you know, Shine brought up the point the other day about Jalen Polk being a top receiver to get separation. It's, you know, you need somebody in there if you want to win games, because this season, you know, a lot of people are saying that it's a rebuild year, but in reality, we have a good enough team to make the playoffs. We have a good enough team to, I'm not saying we're going to win the Super Bowl, but we have a good enough team to compete, and they showed that against the Bengals. They showed that last week. And if you get a better option at quarterback who can get it to your receivers, then you have even more of a chance to win. So I don't see the negative in bringing in Drake May, giving him the experience. And in the long run, as a Patriots fan, it should be what you want, because he is our number three pick and he's going to be our quarterback for a while. So get him in now. Get him used to our young receivers. All of our receivers are young except for, you know, Hunter Henry.
It's just Curtis and Wiggy can relate to this maybe more so than Courtney and Shime, but we are in, like, we have somehow arrived at a point where we are like Carolina, where we are hoping and praying that we made a pick in the draft at quarterback that is somehow going to lead this franchise.
Yeah, but we didn't leverage our future in order to do it.
Back to glory. Like, it is, it's bizarro world. Like, when you think about the 20 years of incredible success here.
But, Greg, removing my emotion and the bitterness of the past, okay? When you have a quarterback that can win championships, the onus is on the coach and Robert Kraft specifically to maximize that window, not to find a way to shove him out the door. And that's what was so frustrating about the end here in New England, where they didn't maximize it because the odds that Drake May is anywhere near what you had is slim to none.
See, I don't even really trip about that. It's like you're 16 years old and your crush, all of a sudden, you live in Boston and your crush moves to California. It's like, yeah, your heart might be broken, but it's time to move on. I'm in the world of time to move on. I love what Brady did. I love what the organization was able to do in the time him and Bill was there. The same way I've moved on.
Do you want to waste a whole another season without knowing what Drake May is?
I don't. I think
that's what they're going to do.
I think it's stupid. The same way I think the Carolina Panthers are stupid for sitting Bryce Young. Play Bryce Young, see if he can get any better, and then after the season, you reevaluate if it's time for us to look to see if we can get a free agent quarterback or maybe have to trade him.
The Panthers are too trigger happy. Like, they just flip on the dime immediately.
That's the Arona.
They just do not let things play out. If things don't go right, then they immediately switch.
I think this team is good enough. I think they have a good enough coach. They have a good enough talent on the defensive side of the football. I think they can run the football well. I don't know what these wide receivers are because your passing game is anemic.
Now, I will say the risk is, Shime was talking to me before the show started about his hero, Mel Kiper. And what did Kiper say? That essentially the Panthers are responsible for ruining Bryce Young, right? I mean, do you have the audio?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's mishandled is the word, because when you drafted Bryce Young, you knew he was an outlier, you know? So you knew Bryce Young, not only short, but small, diminutive quarterback, needed help, right? Also, continuity. You draft a quarterback. Everybody said he's got this great infrastructure in Carolina around him, right? With the head coach, the coordinator, the quarterback coach, everything's there, the senior assistant, everything's in place. And then you see him beat C.J. Stroud on the field as a rookie, right? You take out the three games he threw multiple interceptions, he was 5 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns, 3 picks, okay? Had some decent games last year, okay? But then you go into this year, you change everything because C.J. Stroud's doing so well in Houston. We got to destroy this thing. We got to blow it up and start over because, you know, C.J. Stroud's doing so great in Houston. These coaches aren't getting it done. But to blame this on Bryce Young is ridiculous. This is the blame here goes to the organization, the owner, for a mishandling.
I'm sorry, Mel, you can't take the three games where he had multiple interceptions out. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I agree that it's dumb, but he's also not wrong.
Like, no, the great players, no matter the sport, transcend the ineptitude of the team they play for.
Yeah, I'm not saying Bryce Young is great, but like,
it's different because you're drafting a guy who's like 5 feet tall.
You drafted a guy one overall and then fired the head coach 10 games into the season. Like, you didn't even give them an opportunity. Like, you didn't even, you barely gave them a chance on a roster you knew was devoid of talent. This is because David Tepper is a horrendously bad owner. That's why bad owners create bad environments, create bad teams. And bad things happen to bad teams.
And Courtney said it, he has no patience, and it's all about hiring the right guy. Has nothing to do with his size. Because guess what? Kyler Murray's small. Looks fine to me. You look at Baker Mayfield, he's small. Fine. Drew Brees was small. Fine. There's plenty of quarterbacks that are undersized that are able to get it done in the National Football League. I think it's about, and we've said this all the time, if you don't have the right coach in place to give that quarterback some stability, if the quarterback just doesn't have that it factor, then it's very difficult to go from 1 year, one system, another year, another system. And that's kind of what's happened to Bryce Young.
You did not put the right offensive line in place in front of a potential Drake May start. Like, you screwed that up.
But if you look at the All-22 breakdown from Shime in your dating site, the line is giving him time.
No, a lot of it, like, if you go back and look at every single play,
Shime had a stat of what? What was he, middle of the league when it comes to time to throw the football?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so... Like Greg.
A lot of those pressure numbers can be misconstrued because Jacoby Brissett's holding onto the ball so long that he's creating his own pressure.
And outside of Drew Brees, who won a Super Bowl, how many small quarterbacks have years and years of success in the NFL?
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russell Wilson.
Also won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he has a bunch.
Okay, with one of the great defenses in NFL history.
Well, not, I mean.
Yeah, but he still had years of success.
Yeah, he's had years of success.
Okay, so two.
Well, now we got to go through the list of small quarterbacks. All right, let me try to think.
I mean, I just think...
I mean, Doug Flutie had success.
Oh, come on.
He did?
He was 70.
Yeah, but he had success when he played in the NFL.
Twitch chat says Fran Tarkenton, Curtis. Yep. That
I call him time. Francis.
Ooh. Vikings superstar Fran Tarkenton.
The original scrambling quarterback, right?
Yep.
One of the original endorsers of products. On commercial television, Fran Tarkenton.
Fran Tarkenton, underrated, could succeed in today's NFL.
And I got to tell you, Russell Wilson is how old?
He's got to be 35 or something like that.
Boy, he looks good. Better than ever.
He doesn't look good now.
Michael Vick was small. He had success.
Michael Vick was not under 6 feet tall.
He was like 6 feet. And generally, when they say you're 6 feet, you're smaller than that.
That is true.
You know, so let's be honest. I'm just trying to go through the list.
Well, he's not under 6 feet. He is 6 feet. And we're going by what everybody's listed as. If everybody lies, it's all the same rubric.
So let's say Bryce is... What's the difference between 5'11 and 6 feet?
An inch.
But an inch means nothing. It's not like...
Did you watch Any Given Sunday? The inches are everywhere.
I could see if you're going, all right, Bryce Young is 5'11 and this quarterback's 6'3. I don't know,
Curtis. Do you buy into the Baker Mayfield assance?
Yes. No, I buy into Baker Mayfield.
Did you see Baker ripping Brady, by the way?
Wow,
he said
stupid.
They're finally happy now that he was gone, that they were all the players were too stressed around Tom.
Two is short, too. Two is another one. I mean, the days of the short quarterback are long gone out the window, the prototype being the Drew Bledsoe.
6'1 for Tua.
The 6'5.
Curtis, well aware of how helpful it can be to get an extra inch.
Think about my members, very odd.
Speaking of things that you might like... We want to take you to lunch or to dinner at Time Out Market Boston. So they are celebrating their 5th anniversary, and you get lunch or dinner on us if you are caller number 9 on the contest line right now, which is 617-931-0937. Call now, caller 9. You get to go to Time Out Market Boston. And coming up on September 21st, Go to Timeout Market Boston for Oktoberfest with the finest locally crafted beers from breweries from all around New England. Sample free brews and enjoy the party from 12 to 5 while dining on Oktoberfest-inspired dishes from the city's best kitchens. There's a Steinholding contest, photo booth, live DJ, and more. To find out all about it, just go to timeoutmarketboston.com.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox fell to the Rays 8-3 last night. They've got another one with them tonight. 6:50 first pitch with Tanner Houck getting the start. You can hang out with Coop at 5:50 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and as always on the Odyssey app. In football, Tua has been placed on IR and will miss at least the next four games. So that means that Miami will be without Tua for the October 6th matchup with the Patriots. And it is now time to put someone in timeout.
You're in timeout. Let's find out who's getting a timeout this week. Brought to you by Timeout Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof. Timeoutmarket.com.
I'm going back to my lead on Monday. I think the NFL should be in timeout because even if a doctor clears Tua, in my opinion, if you care about player safety, you've got to step in at this point.
Mm. Okay.
Anybody all right. Know? Yes, I am putting the stupid-ass fans of Colorado State in timeout for Preach. Going after our boy D. White.
Oh, good one.
For, you know, just probably enjoying the game, having a good little fun, healthy back and forth of, you know, talking trash and – you know, you're getting blown out, and all of a sudden you get your butt hurt, and now you want to throw some punches.
Okay, I would like to stay in the same state, but throw Deion Sanders into timeout. The most sensitive coach in college sports is the guy that should have the most confidence. He kicks reporters out of covering the team from press conferences because of negative stories. He was, if you hear about, I don't want to talk about it, but there was a great guy that we used to work with who played football for the Patriots, whose son played for Deion Sanders, and he was a pill, a guy that was all about himself and now trying to hide behind his players. I find Deion Sanders to be somewhat insufferable.
Curtis, I will keep it in the family. I will put Shador in timeout for refusing to shake hands after that win.
Oh, yeah, he
on
did.
Saturday.
He did. He went after that quarterback.
How about a little sportsmanship?
Well, that quarterback was talking mad-ish.
You're telling me that he and that family is not familiar with talking trash prior to a game?
Now, listen.
You still, it's sportsmanship. You shake hands afterwards.
Well, I get what you're saying. But if you're talking trash to me and we're having a good, heavy back and forth.
And then you win the game and you don't shake hands afterwards?
No, because if there's bad blood, I'm not shaking your hand.
Okay.
You think we shook hands with Joey Porter after the AFC Championship game?
I mean, it is a tradition that is as old as sports.
It's in hockey, maybe, but not in the rest of the sports.
Timeout Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof, timeoutmarket.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you. Breaking news. There is no handshakes in football. 65 degrees and cloudy, afternoon high around 80.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Coming up at 10, Jones and Keith. And tomorrow on this show, Bill O'Brien at 6:45, Red Sox front office report tomorrow at 9. Happy National Cheeseburger Day, Wiggy.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's one of your go-tos.
I love a good cheeseburger.
Especially in the mini form, mm-hmm. When it comes to sliders. You are a renowned slider consumer.
What's your favorite in the city?
Favorite what?
Cheeseburger.
I don't know. I don't have like a favorite cheeseburger spot.
Oh, if
I
really?
Had, no. I mean, I like Wahlburgers. I like Five Guys.
Oh, I would have said like an actual restaurant.
What's yours?
Lola 42.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really like the cheeseburger in a restaurant. For me, is like when you go into the restaurant and you find and there's nothing on the menu that you like. That's like the fallback plan.
Oh, really?
I agree with you, Wiggy.
In the
that.
Restaurant is what we're talking about. It's, yeah. Isn't it like the basically the fallback plan? You go into a restaurant, you're like, oh, what am I really looking for? You can't really find that. And then you're like, ah, the hell with it. I'll just get a cheeseburger. I don't go into a restaurant going, you know what? Mm.
I want to get, you never have a craving for a cheeseburger?
Not when I go into a restaurant. Yeah.
By the way, can I highly recommend a new restaurant that I went to last night with Linz?
Yeah.
Mr. H. In the Seaport?
I've been dying to go.
I heard of that.
Oh, it's brand new.
If you like Asian-inspired infusion type cuisine.
I do.
Oh, that's right. I saw you had dumplings on your Instagram
yes,
story. One of
yes.
my favorite foods of all time.
Chicken, delicious chicken noodles,
mm-hmm.
dumplings, soup wontons. Mm. Are you a fan of the soup wonton?
Sure am. I love a good wonton.
You have to be careful of the mouth due to the heat of the soup coming out of said wonton. But great spot, beautiful restaurant.
Mr. H.
Great bar. Really a great spot. Mr. H in the Seaport, brand new.
Can I tell you something, Greg?
Yes.
I am so happy. That where we live is awesome. Great place. But like old school good Chinese food doesn't really exist.
They do a great job.
That sounds awesome.
And they
awesome.
Don't go crazy like changing it. You know what I mean?
I just
trying to make
do it well.
It, like it's
that's
really,
what Mr. H does. So it's yes. a classic yes. old school boneless
yeah, but,
spare
but,
ribs.
Like they update a little bit here or there or whatever, but it's just really yes. You get boneless spare ribs, right. Like you would,
which is one of the great frauds of all time. Wiggy mocking boneless wings, but getting boneless spare ribs.
That's different though.
Yeah.
Crab Rangoons.
No. No crab rangoons.
Oh,
but that's
kind
okay.
of Chinese restaurant are you without crab rangoons? Yeah,
that's a mess.
Chinese! Chinese, kid! This is Coach from New Hampshire. What's up, Coach?
Hi, great show as always. I'm so aligned with Curtis with the Deion Sanders thing. Let's review their first three games. Game one. They barely beat a 1AA team, and the dirtiest player on the field is Shiloh Sanders. Week two, they get overwhelmed by a young Nebraska team and quarterback, and Shador Sanders throws his entire offensive line under the bus in the most ridiculous way. Week three, they're blowing out Colorado State. And Neon Deion decides, let's, instead of running the clock out like good sports, let's pump up my son's statistics and rub it in, and then his son doesn't shake hands. Deion Sanders, as a parent and as a coach, is a joke. Thank you.
It's a dink. I'm sorry. Some people, like Wiggy during the break, said, well, you know, your guy Tom Brady wouldn't shake hands.
Right.
Like,
Oh my God!
It's a dink move.
It happens.
It's a dink move.
People don't.
You're
do
in
it.
College. You're not Tom Brady.
No, listen. If this trash talking, so
he trashed. They all his coach trash talks
yeah,
worse than
it.
Anybody.
I get it.
You're role models.
So shake hands afterwards.
You're not role models.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Shake
you're in.
Hands
you're
afterwards.
In college. You're talking a lot of trash. Maybe he didn't like what the kid said. Maybe the kid was talking trash before the game. The quarterback was talking about how this was going to be their revenge and they're going to murder them and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
I don't agree with like a lot of stuff Deion does, but I'm like to the caller coach, like, listen, I'm not going to knock him as a parent. It seems like he has all his kids are in college. They've never been in trouble with the law. They don't have any off the field issues. Like, so to knock him as a parent, I'm not going to do that. You want to knock him as a coach, you got no issues with that. But stop with, like, just because he acts a certain way, his kids are all, his daughter's in college.
Like, how long is his runway there?
Not very long. If he doesn't win, like, he only won 4 games last year. If he wins 4 games this year, I think the shtick will run out, like, where people will be like, all right, Deion, you talk a lot now. Because Deion, remember, he talked and backed it up. Now you got to stop backing it up with the performance out there.
This is Gene from Rhode Island, where we will be for a Flex Friday show in Newport on October the 4th. What's up, Gene?
I missed your comment on timeout and who you put into timeout for not shaking hands. It went so quickly, I didn't hear the name.
It was Shador Sanders.
Shador Sanders.
Deion's
Should I
kid.
Know him? Who is?
Yeah, he's Deion's
kid.
He's called about
it.
He's a quarterback. Yes.
You said you're going to keep it in house. I thought it had something to do with the Patriot.
No.
All
right, Curtis brought up the Sanders family.
Yeah. Well, Brady didn't shake hands with who was it? Nick Foles.
Well, you brought that up. Yes. During the break,
I asked the question. I said, didn't Brady not shake hands? Because I remember everybody was complaining about that. Yeah, you get in the heat of the moment. It is what it is.
Right. It happens once in 25 years.
This is Xavier from Boston. What's up, Xavier?
Greg, he doesn't need to shake his hand at all. The kid was on Instagram talking trash. He was on Instagram talking trash. And also in an interview, he was taking shots at them. So why does he need to shake his hand? This isn't Little League.
So, Xavier, you think the Sanders family is against trash talk?
Listen, this is competitive. We're not here to make people feel good.
Well, but who says that? Who says you're more competitive or not competitive if you have sportsmanship?
Yeah, but you think Deion would complain if somebody didn't shake his hand after he was talking trash?
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't be butthurt about it.
No.
Do you remember when he confronted the coach of Colorado State?
They're just from two different places, guys. Come on.
He confronted the coach about.
If you're from a certain place, you talk trash, you can take it. If you can dish it, you can take it. That's it.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. They talk a ton of trash, and they get outraged when others do it.
No. He fronted the coach from Colorado State about something completely different.
I don't think they get outraged.
Xavier, to me, it's like school in summer. No class. Okay? That's the way I look at it. Sorry.
Hey, man.
Hate to say it. Hate to steal one from Fat Albert.
All right.
But...
Yeah, I ain't got no issues with it.
That's the way I look at it.
I ain't got no issues with it.
Sorry about that.
You know, it's the nature of the beast. Sometimes you lose and you're in your feelings or you win and you're like, I'm not shaking this dude's hand. You know, I mean.
No, we know what goes into it.
Did you ever do it?
Yeah, I told you. We didn't shake hands. We didn't shake hands with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, I mean, and, you know, they were talking trash all game long. And we were talking trash right back. And if they would have won, you think they would have shook hands with us? No. That's how it goes. Don't get mad. And especially the caller's right. The kid was talking mad trash before the game, the quarterback, and then was talking trash during the game. So you lose the game, and guess what? Sometimes things happen.
This is Jacob from Rhode Island. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
So I didn't get to listen to the whole conversation with Jelani Tavai. I was just wondering if Scheim got to tell Mr. Tavai his comment on how he thinks that he could hit harder than Brian Urlacher.
He did that last week.
Yeah.
and Tavai basically... Tavai basically kind of declined to comment.
Yeah.
He said, ha, ha, ha. Well, he's like, wait, did Joe Montana say that?
I don't think he agreed with you, though.
He probably may or may not have. We'll never know.
I don't think he agreed with you. All right. We are waiting the start of Bruins training camp, and Don Sweeney will speak to the media today. So,
what's up with the Biznom?
We'll find out whether or not there is indeed an accurate cocoa bomb that went off on the show this morning, and whether or not there is a deal that has been consummated long-term between the Bruins and Jeremy Swayman. And so you will get that news here as soon as it breaks, as soon as Don Sweeney shares.
You got a smile over there. What's going on?
It's coming.
You have full confidence?
Full confidence.
You know how long, I thought you said. You don't know how long it is.
No, there was another report that people are like, she scooped it off of Rob Reinhart, who works for the Herald. And he tweeted out last night at like 9:50, right before 10 a.m. or 10 p.m., the Boston Bruins and Jeremy Swayman have finally reached a contract agreement. Per source, I'm told they agreed on 8 years, $8.5 million deal. Just want to let everybody know a little bit behind baseball, inside baseball. I can never get those right. Gosh.
You're close.
Behind baseball.
I like behind baseball.
Me too.
That I texted the people in this room at about 6:30 last night.
6:29 on the dot. Right.
There
yes,
we go.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, Scoops.
So,
and my favorite thing are the anonymous people on social media that demand accountability from Courtney and others when they actually have a story. It's like, first of all, we don't get anything. Courtney doesn't get a bonus for this. It's information she had. She's passing on to the consumer. That's
see,
all.
You
or like Nicholas Biondo on Twitter just responded to Curtis and I. Then where's the release of the news? Well, that's what I'm telling you. It's coming.
So see, what you should have did is you should have tweeted it out last night, right when you hit us up, because then you'd be...
I'm not a big Twitter person. Like, yeah, I'm not the person that Twitter. Wants to, like, jump on well, Twitter
no,
and be
I'm
the
just,
first.
I'm, what I'm saying is... You
people with nothing going on in their
right,
life.
Right, but not first, you're last.
But the people that don't have anything going on, when somebody puts it up, maybe not tweet, but out on social media, then they're going to be like, oh,
I
Courtney
people,
stole it from
I
that
I told
person.
The people that are important to me, you guys.
Right, and she saved it for the show.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And boom. I can always screenshot
there
it if people really don't believe you.
Thank
oh,
you.
You know people
thank
nowadays
you,
that
you're
be
welcome.
Like, that screenshot's fake.
Yeah, they were ended.
All right.
Rob Reifsnyder had it at 6:22 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right. We got to take a break, but just like Shimes wait, we'll be right back.
Hey!
Well, I can't believe it, but we got to get out of here. Are we pre-gaming somewhere, Courtney, when it comes to Post Malone tonight? Have you
Ooh.
Decided that? Have you figured that out?
I would love to.
Okay. A lot of people going, so I don't know. We got to figure someplace out where we can fit everybody in.
I'm busy.
Are you busy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do want to just say that I have been notified that maybe that Rob Reinhart that I just talked about from the Herald... maybe a Eric Schoen.
Oh, Eric Schoen.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
It should have gone with Judge Reinhardt.
Eric right. Schoen.
Maybe. All right.
Can well. We all agree that that moment is a Mount Rushmore moment of this show?
What, Eric Schoen?
Yeah,
it's pretty
one
good.
One of the all-time greats.
Just, I mean, truly God. Remarkable, brilliant in all forms.
Yeah. Coach
I think
Schoen.
I was set up.
Yeah, one of the great ones. This is Nick from New Hampshire. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Mr. Scheim, I just want to mention, you mentioned Fran Tarkenton couldn't play today.
No, I said he could.
Fran Tarkenton was, what?
I said he could.
What?
Well, I thought you said he couldn't.
No. I said because he was one of the fathers of mobility at the quarterback position.
Dual
I said,
threat.
I said he, contrary to what I said about Joe Montana, I said Fran Tarkenton could have success in today's NFL.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
that's
you.
Great, because that's true. Because Drew Brees, 6 feet tall, and didn't have a great arm, and that was same stats as Fran Tarkenton in that regard. But Fran could throw the long ball. Now, one other thing I want to say to you, when you address that Joe Montana, all these other older quarterbacks, their completion rate was much lower than what we see today. Well, what's going on in today's football? The average pass is 10 yards. You're going to complete a shorter pass much easier than a longer pass.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's right. Now, that's like this season and last season because of the adaptation of the too high defense to stop the long ball. But to be honest, like that's not always been the case.
We have to marvel at this, guys. Yeah. These people, these losers on social media that have been dunking on Courtney have been using a fake tweet The guy, there's no Rob Reinert that works at the Boston
Correct.
Herald.
That's oh, what okay. I'm saying. So everybody that's like, she scooped it off him.
You jackasses.
No, I stand by, listen.
No, this isn't to you, Greg.
This isn't to you. Yeah,
no, no. I'm saying we stand by the Cocoa Bomb.
Yes. Oh, these losers who have been citing it.
Cocoa Bomb. Hey. In Nightlight, Coco gets duped again. Nope, not duped. I was saying, everybody that was saying to me that Rob Reinhart had it before me, and I told you that I was actually 3 hours before that guy.
Right.
He's the you all got duped.
Right.
Oh.
I mean, you've only dropped two Cocoa Bombs, and they've been pretty big.
Yeah, they've been big.
But massive.
Hopefully Sam Kennedy's on tomorrow.
I didn't drop my Celtics ring bomb yet, but I saw the Celtics ring.
Oh, wow. I bet those things are beautiful. But Wick spared no expense.
They are unbelievable.
What total buffoons. God, I love this job.
I love my ring, but I feel
like... Did he lose money on the rings or no?
I don't think so.
Well, I love my ring, but I feel like we laid the foundation, and I kind of, like, you kind of miss out when you start to see, like, how elaborate some of the rings got.
Yeah, you got yours early.
Yeah.
And then they started to get after, after that, they just are absolutely out of control, because you have to do better every single year.
Top's coming off.
Yeah, well, this one, the top comes off, and there's something incredible inside.
We started, like, I feel like we started the platinum.
You were ahead of the time? It was gold before
that? Yeah, it was like gold, and then we went to platinum, but the top's coming off, and some of the other cool little things inside.
Yeah.
I feel like, dang.
You missed that. You missed that whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, did you guys at least have a nice dinner at Robert Kraft's house?
And, they had a ring party.
But now the box that the or the presentation device that the ring comes in is equal probably in cost to what your ring was.
Well, we got a nice box too with lights in it and everything. Yeah. But I wasn't there for the the ring ceremony dinner.
Do you have an issue with the Celtics city uniforms? Everybody's complaining about that.
Why, they got new ones or something?
On social, yeah.
Let me see. Celtics new city unis.
I thought that the last year version was great. I think people are pissed at the way they did the word Boston. I don't know.
Let me see.
I think they're kind of cool.
The jerseys suck.
Which one is it?
Bad.
You don't like them?
They're horrendous, Greg.
Did somebody put up a picture? Oh,
I love a good... I am a jersey snob. These stink.
What don't you like about them?
It's up, Courtney?
Yeah.
It's plain.
Shime wants a more
slim
fit one.
The letters don't look appealing. Clean. The coloring isn't great.
The neon?
You don't like the neon green?
No.
I think that's the issue that
And I love like I love the Celtics black jerseys. So a primary black jersey is great to me. That though stinks.
Shime, move over. Cause I'm on that train with you.
Welcome.
Yeah.
You don't like them?
Hop on the bus, bud.
You got to put them up. We put them up on IG. They look like a AAU youth basketball team that, like, you know, your homeboy is running. He says, "Ooh, I got a great idea. My man's going to make us uniforms."
Yeah.
He owns an auto body shop.
Well, I love the Hunter Green, so that's still there. You don't like the neon
it's so
green.
Plain.
It's not the neon. It's just the way it looks. It's like...
What if they're glow in the dark? That could be cool.
It's like, you know, it's kind of like I said, if you look at a lot of like the youth football uniforms nowadays in AAU, it's like they went in a whole nother direction.
Yeah, Mitch is going to put it up on Twitch so that the people can see.
It looks like, I don't know.
It literally looks like a warm-up penny.
Yeah, yeah.
That you throw on before the game.
Because the way the Celtics wording, like...
The Celtics wording, the one stripe down this, like, what are we
Greg,
doing?
Greg, you know what it's like for you and I, we might remember the times, is when there was one sports store in your neighborhood. For me, it was the Locker Room in East Boston. And your mother said,
For me, it was the Maynard Outdoor Store, but go ahead.
Your mother said, can't afford the actual Larry Bird jersey, but what we can do, I'll buy you a tank top, we'll go down to the locker room and
get the numbers put on.
And they'll press it on.
Press it on for you.
And then maybe a couple weeks later, like a letter will stop falling off.
Yeah, I love
That's
that.
That's what it looks like.
Same guy would do my skates. right there. All right. Oh, we got to go. Great show, everybody.
Oh,
we'll
shout out
to
us.
See you tonight at Fenway.
Yes.
See it at Posty. Posty is the kids.
Congratulations.
On what?
No, on Post Malone, White Iverson.
He said congratulations.
Thank you, Wiggy. Jones and Keefe are next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6. Thank you for your patronage.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. See ya.